Welcome to the Auburn Community Church Podcast. We are so excited by all God has done through ACC in such a short period of time. We have heard countless stories of people discovering a brand new perspective on Jesus and being strengthened in their faith through what God is doing through our local church in Auburn, Alabama. If you or someone you know has been impacted by the ministry of ACC and would like to invest in all God is doing in and through our church family, we want to invite you to visit our website at auburncommunitychurch.com and click the Give tab to partner with us in seeing the love of Jesus change our community and our world. Thank you for partnering with us to help build a church without walls. We hope you enjoy this message.
I do want to have a conversation this morning. I don't necessarily want to do the whole, like, hey, I'm preaching at you, because I feel like this church is a family. And I kind of want to have a conversation because we've been in this series, Change the World. And if you were here for that one big service we had, it was amazing. Saw God do incredible things through this church, through Compassion International. And that relationship is only going to grow more and more throughout the years. And we're literally going to see God change the world through Auburn Community Church. And I'm extremely excited about that. So we started at the national world level, nations. We're going to go to the nations. And then last week in the morning at night, we talked about what it looks like to be a good neighbor. And we looked at the story of the Good Samaritan that most of us have heard. Many people, Stuart talked about this, that most faith traditions talk about the story of a Good Samaritan. They don't use the language we do, but that moral story is across so many religious backgrounds. And so we've kind of taken this funnel approach. We started with the world. We've gone to our neighbor. And this week we're going to ourselves. Yeah, that's right. We're having the talk. We're going to talk about our hearts. Men, buckle up. This is going to be good. This isn't just about emotions. This is so much more than that. This is an all-encompassing talk. And I'm no expert at this. This is why I want to have a conversation. Because I'm not an expert, okay? I'm sort of young, haven't lived on this planet that long, and I have a lot more to figure out before I claim to be an expert at anything in my life. But if there's one thing I know, that God desires to do something in us, and then he will do something through us. And so this year has been a year like that for me. And I can't wait to divulge more of that information, but I do want to go ahead and get the sermon title out there for the note takers. This is the last sermon in our series, and it is called Heartbeat. It is called Heartbeat. And this year has been quite the year, as Miles kind of alluded to. I remember having a conversation with Miles at the beginning of this year. And 2016 was an incredible year for us at ACC. It was incredible. We were having a meeting in the office, and I was jazzed. I'm like, yes, let's do this. We're probably going to go to lunch after this. I'm super excited because that's a free lunch. I love free lunch. I'm still young enough to really dig a free lunch. And so we're having this conversation, and I'll spare you all the details, but this moment changed, honestly, what I say changed the trajectory of my life, let alone my year. And I remember Miles looking at me, and look, Miles and I have a great relationship. I love working for him, with him, and we also have a friendship on the side. So we love it. I love our relationship. But he looked at me in love, and he said, Matt, the only thing that is going to keep you from experiencing all you want to experience here at ACC, the only thing that's going to keep you from being as successful as you want to be in ministry here at ACC, and the thing that could cap your potential here at ACC, is what's inside of you. I was thinking free lunch. I'm thinking we're talking about how awesome 2017 is going to be, and Miles drops this bomb on me. But here's the beautiful thing. It was in love as a brother in Christ. And I would be honest with you, I did not smile and say, gee, thanks. When someone looks at you and say, hey, it's what's inside of you that is going to cap off what God can do in you right now, and that needs to change, that's hard to hear. So I walked away from that conversation a tiny bit discouraged. I was upset. Miles can attest to that. Didn't speak much because I knew it was true. And you and I, we tend to get the most offended or the most defensive when someone calls us out for something that is true. And usually it has to do with a character trait that we have been displaying that is inside of us. That's in our heart being what makes us us, as the Bible talks about. And so Miles had brought this to my attention, and it was a blind spot for me. I couldn't have seen it without someone outside of me who cares for me and loves me and sees me on a daily basis trying to do this thing we call ministry well. It took him saying, hey, this is a blind spot and it needs to change. And that was the moment that I realized that there were things inside of me that I thought that I had gotten under control or thought I had dealt with, that I still had a long way to go. And since we're in this series called Change the World, this was the most appropriate way to end this series, talking about how can I be a part of the change that God wants to bring in the world. And I'm here to say this, that there is a direct relationship between change in you and change around you. There's a direct relationship between change in you, change in me, and the change that we will see in the world around us. If you and I get on a plane and go on a mission trip and haven't changed in here, we're not going to change a thing out there. We're not going to change a thing. And the only way that I can talk about this today is because God has done an amazing thing in my life, and he has chiseled away these pieces of stone that are still left on my heart. His promise is that he would take away our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, a new heart. And I knew that I needed that. After that conversation with Miles, after he called out a few characteristics in me, one of which was being easily offended, by the way, still working on that, hence me getting up and explaining why I'm not a Grinch. So we're still working. We are still working. And so I want to preface everything else I'm going to say today by the fact that this is a journey. You cannot wake up one morning. You cannot get home from work one day and be, you're totally new. You have no bad habits. You have a completely new character. We're talking about years of life experiences, hurts, and pains that are defining our characters. But the beautiful thing is that Christ, in a moment, in a lifetime of following him step by step, moment by moment, can change a lifetime of hurt, a lifetime of pain, and can melt a heart of stone built up over decades and decades. So this is a message for the person that is 6 or the person that is 60. And so I want you to tune in with me. This is a conversation. This is not me giving you some information you didn't already have. But this is us as a family saying, God, would you speak through your word and would you change me from the inside out? Jesus talks about the need for a heart change in Mark 7. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read this verse for you. Jesus says this in Mark 7. He says, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. You see, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees at this point because they had tried to, again, paint him and the disciples into a corner about what foods were clean, what was unclean, what were the rituals to eat certain foods. And Jesus is saying, no, it's not what goes in you that defiles you. He flips it on its head again. Once again, Jesus is totally changing things because the kingdom of God is so opposite of the world that we live in. And Jesus says, no, it's not what goes in you. It's what comes out of you. Because basically Jesus is announcing, hey, your heart is a sin factory and it produces 24/7, 365, every single day, every single year. And if you don't have a new heart, if your heart has not changed, this is not an exhaustive list of things that will come out. It's an extensive list, but it's not exhaustive. And Jesus knows that. And so he's gently saying, he actually says to his disciples, are you that dull? Did you not hear what I just said? You need a new heart. And I'm here, and I'm the only one that can give that to you, by the way. Because Jesus makes a promise in Matthew, in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:8. He says, the pure in heart will see God. And as I'm studying that this week, as I'm wrestling with scripture this week, that tells me if I allow God to change my heart, I'm gonna see him do unbelievable things through my life. But if I keep him at a distance and don't let him do what he needs to do, which, by the way, if you know anyone who's had heart surgery, it's painful and it hurts. And so if I don't let God do what he needs to do and go to the very depth of who I am and what makes me, me, chances are I may not even see God in this life. I may not see him do amazing things. I could see him do it through other people. It's not gonna be through me. And that is the most sobering reality I have ever felt in my life. And when Miles sat me down that day in that office, I realized that I was stopping myself from seeing God do incredible things in my life. And so I had to get on my knees and realize it's not about me. It never has been about me. It's about me being used by God to do whatever he wants to do for his glory. And I need a new heart. And so the prayer started every day I pray, God, would you give me wisdom? Would you give me a new heart? Would you continue to renew my mind and give me a new heart? And that's been my prayer this whole year. And I've seen God do incredible things through me. And Jesus is having this hard conversation with us. He's having the conversation that Miles had with me. And he's saying, hey, look, I guarantee you, you'll play a role in history. You'll see me, but I have to have access to who you are. We cannot play this game, y'all. We cannot play this game that this room, coming into this room, is enough to change us. It is not, by the way. Miles has said this multiple times. A good message and a good worship experience is not enough to change you. It's not, it never will be. And so I hate to disappoint you if that was your game plan. That's a bad game plan. Because God has to do things the other 6 days of the week for you to even see him do anything, because he is going to work. And it's a promise, y'all. I want us to cling to the promise that the pure in heart will see God. That is a promise from Christ himself. And so we must let him change our heart. I want to change, by the way. I realize that the thing that upsets me the most in the world is when I talk to older people who tell me that, oh, well, you're just young. You're just zealous. You're young. With the utmost respect and kindness, I want to say, well, you haven't changed. And so I want to be someone who changes, who wants to change. I don't want to be 70 and look like I did when I was 17. I want to have the emotional awareness, the spiritual awareness that when I'm 70, when I'm 80, that there are men under me who I've been speaking into for decades of my life because I've been changing along with them. And I never want the words to come out of my mouth, well, you're just young. Because I know older people who act young in their faith, but they're so mature. And when I say young in their faith, I'm saying they believe God for anything. That God will do anything and everything through them to the moment that they take their last breath. God is going to use them to change the world around them. And so I want to challenge us today together, me, you, we're all in this together. High School Musical. We really are. Like, I mean that. That's not just some cliche statement. Like, if you are in Christ, we are in this together. And there is no expert, no one with a microphone from a stage is any better. We're in this together. And so as I was studying this week, I was really wrestling with what scripture we were going to really talk through. And reading Mark kind of led me to some more passages. And I don't even remember how I got here. I mean, it was amazing. The Lord literally took me here through hours and hours this week. But we're really going to be in 2 Timothy today. 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would turn there with me. I remember telling Miles after the Lord kind of showed me this passage, that this was the wrap up to our series. This passage, I didn't even have to come up with anything like rhymey or cool. Like literally this wrapped it up in a gift, in a bow. And I was like, here you go, church. This is it. I mean, this God will do that through scripture, because I didn't want to come up with some theory. I didn't want to sound cool. I'm not that smart. I haven't finished my MDiv, so that would be a waste of time. So I'm so thankful that God put this scripture in front of me. I want to read this to us right now. It's 2 Timothy 2, 22 through 26. This is Paul writing a letter to church leadership. And I believe this is a church of leaders, so I feel like it's appropriate for our church today. He said this: flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. If that's not this whole series, I literally don't know what is. Because remember, our dilemma is that we cannot be used by God to the utmost extent because our hearts aren't pure. They need a change. They're broken. They're hurt. And Paul here is laid out very clearly what those with a pure heart do. And so I thought to myself, well, this is it. I really don't have to go much further. Like, God, you've just kind of laid this out through your scripture, as he does. Because our dilemma is so great that no human theory can get us changed. That the word of God has to enter our hearts and change what is happening here. The voice of God through his word is the only thing that can do it. And so we ask the Holy Spirit through the word to do what only he can do. And it's very clear what Paul is saying here. That if you want a changed heart, if I want a changed heart, which I think we're in agreement that we do, that here's what you do. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Paul's saying this is no secret. The people who have a pure heart are doing these things. They are pursuing righteousness. They are pursuing faith. They are pursuing love. And they are pursuing peace. They are becoming these things. I feel like we can come into church and you can sit and hear a sermon, and a lot of it can be, well, we need to do. We need to go do, and we need to go do some more. But if we don't take time to be and become, our doing is pointless. It really is. Like, honestly, I've tried it. I really have tried it, and it doesn't work. I cannot genuinely love someone if I don't know love myself. And you definitely can't pretend to have peace if you don't know the peace of Christ. And you can't be faithful to your wife, your kids, your job, your church, if you haven't been faithful to Christ first because of his faithfulness to us. And you can't pursue righteousness unless you have known the righteousness of Christ first, which is what he did for us on the cross, living a perfect, sinless life so that we would be righteous in and through him. It has nothing to do with us, by the way. All to do with him. And so Paul has laid this out perfectly for us. There's 4 points today. I know, it's shocking. It is shocking. There's 4 points, not 3. And I cannot wait to give you these because Paul did it for me. This was the easiest thing ever. It really wasn't. I wrestled with this for a long time. So these 4 things that Paul is saying, if you want your heart to change, pursue these things. Become these things. The first is this: be righteous. Allow people to see your righteousness. Before you freak out, this is not, like Stuart said last week, this is not a do mentality, like a works-based mentality, that I can somehow work myself into righteousness. No. Like I just said, the only righteousness you and I have ever had or will have ever had is Christ's, okay? Because on our best day, our efforts are filthy rags. And that's putting it gently. according to Scripture. On our best day, when you have given to the poor, when you have served your wife, your husband, when you've served your neighbor, when you've done literally everything you can, without Christ, it's still pointless. And so Paul is saying, be righteous, pursue righteousness. What does that mean? We are pursuing to do the things that Christ has laid out for us in Scripture, the things that God has literally said to do. Now, here's the thing in modern day Christendom that I don't understand. And maybe you can help me understand this. When did doing the things Christ tells us to do become legalism? That's called following Jesus. And I was wrestling with that because so many times we preface things by saying, I'm not legalistic. No, I'm just following the Bible is what I'm doing. And so we should be unapologetic as followers of Christ when we have a moral standard, when we have an ethical standard in our businesses, in the things that we do in personal relationships. We should be unapologetic because a day and time has come when the true followers of Jesus who are standing up for Christ will not get along with everyone. So if you're still trying to play the game of getting along with everyone, it's a losing battle if you are a Christian. If you are not a Christian, you probably can get along with everyone. Because we're in a day, today, currently, right now, where the true followers of Christ who stand up for everything they believe in, who stand up not in self-righteousness, not in legalism, but in the righteousness of Christ and the things that he has told us to do, people are not going to like you. And they're not going to like me. And so I just want to go ahead and set that out there. That's today, by the way. Like that's 21st century, 2017. We're in a world where that is the reality. And so Paul is saying, be righteous. Let people see that you actually hold to a moral, ethical standard, that you will do the things that you claim that your Savior says to do. Because as you step in obedience in what you do, God is changing your heart. And he's now allowing you to do the things that he wants you to do and not the things you and I want to do. Because like Paul says earlier in Scripture, I constantly am doing the things I don't want to do, but I want to do the other things. I want to do the things God has me to do, but I keep wanting to do the things that are so sinful and wrong inside me. And step by step, as we follow the Lord, we follow what he has said in his commands and follow him. Not so that people would give us glory, but so that they would see our deeds and worship our Father in heaven. That's the goal, right? Why would I want anyone to see what I'm doing? I'm Matt Cole. I wear skinny jeans and white Vans. Who cares? Like, no one cares. But if I'm doing it to the glory of God in heaven, that just became eternal. And that changes my heart as I become righteous as Christ was righteous. And by the way, the good news this morning is that if you've had a day or a week or a year where you just have not been on your game as far as following Jesus, there's grace and there's mercy. And there is not condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so I really feel like some of us need to wake up to the fact that it's not about what we're doing. Even though Christ has called us to a higher standard in our life of living, of following his actual commands, because he's already done it perfectly, that weight is off of us. And I will end this point with this. If you feel burdened and heavy every single day of your life, you're carrying something you weren't ever meant to carry. You cannot keep all the rules, all the regulations every single day. It is impossible. But what you can do is ask God to change your heart as you follow him every single day, step by step. And he will meet you with his grace and his mercy every single day. I am living testimony to that this year. It's been awakened in me. It's not about me and it's not about you. But we are to pursue righteousness so that people would look at us and go, wow, their Savior must be real. He must be real. Second thing is this. Paul says, be faithful. Allow people to hear and see your faith. If you are a Christian, if your heart is being made new, if Christ is inside of you, at some point, people are going to hear about it. They have to. Going back to the previous point, be righteous, follow the commands of Christ. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son, teaching them to obey all the things I've commanded you. Hello. And they have to hear it at some point. And so at the basic level, we're talking about people in our lives hearing our faith. And you know what that does? That will increase our faith in what God is capable of doing. Because when we share our faith, it is not up to us to determine the results. And so we walk away and we say, God, I have done what you told me to do. I have shared, I have loved them and shared your good news. Now I trust you in faith and I cling to that faith in you and what you have done. And I have shared that. That will change your life. At some point, people have to hear if your life is really changed because they will see it. As we walk this out in faith, people will know, wow, they are different. This is also a faithfulness, not only first and foremost to Christ in your life, in your work, in your relationships, you are faithful to him, but you're faithful to your spouse. You demonstrate faithfulness in every single moment to your children. You demonstrate faithfulness to them that you are theirs. You are with them in life. You are their leader. You are their caretaker in this world under the name of Christ. And I am faithful to be who I'm supposed to be for them. You demonstrate a life of faithfulness that when God puts something in your life, you do it and you stick to it. We are to be a people marked with sticking in there until God says to go somewhere else. We cannot be a fickle people who go back and forth like the waves in the wind and a storm in the ocean. We cannot do that because our witness is on the line. The name of Christ is on the line. If we are a people who are tossed back and forth constantly, who don't pursue faithfulness in all areas of our life, what are we saying? That Christ is our escape button? Our control, alt, delete? We want to force quit something? Oh, Jesus told me to do it. We can't be those people. And so Paul is saying, pursue faith. Pursue to know Christ more, to follow him more. Pursue the things in your life that God has given you to be faithful towards, to see out to the very end. This is a challenge, y'all, because I know for myself, practically, I'm a pretty sociable guy. You can typically find me working in Coffee Cat. But sharing your faith means you're going to be rejected. But we kind of already talked about that in righteousness. We live in a day and age where it's kind of like, what do we have to lose? I mean, what do we have to lose? Everything to gain, by the way. Everything to gain. There are people around us dying right now who we have the opportunity as we pursue faith one step at a time, y'all. We're not talking about you got to be Billy Graham and be preaching to 50,000, 70,000 people. We're talking one person at a time. Chances are, this world's so politically correct, they'll just say thanks and go away. But you have planted a seed now in faith, and you can continue that conversation because our faith in Christ outweighs our faith in ourselves. And so we pursue that faith with everything that we have. The third thing is this. Paul says, be loving. Allow people to feel God's love through your love for them. Here's where I said earlier, we cannot be love until we know love. And I kind of want to just briefly, because I am a man, I want to talk to the men in the room. This is not cheesy. This is not some girly thing to talk about. Caitlin and I will have been married 2 years in February. I'm really excited about the rest of our lives together. And I really want to love her better every single day. And so for the men in the room, if you have children, we don't have children yet. Don't pray for that just yet. We're not there. We're getting there, but just please. If you have children in the room, the people that work, we all pretty much work in some form of capacity. Love is not some sappy, romantic thing that the modern world has told us it is, that men have now shied away from and said, nah, I'm good. Love is so much more than a feeling. Love is action. Love is caring. Love is gentleness. Love is what? It's patient. It's kind. It doesn't boast. It doesn't get angry. Men in the room, y'all, the world wants us to boast, and they want us to be righteous in anger. And as men of Christ, we cannot shy away from the love that God has given to us. We must embrace the love of Christ if we have any hope of being who God's called us to, of any hope of being the men God has called us to, because our hearts, let's just be honest, naturally, I feel like the heart of a man is stone longer than the heart of a woman at times. Because we've been wired and told by the world to be hard, to be put on this face. We need to be strong for the people around us. No, what the people around us need is for us to love them and to be there for them. We can't be cold and distant. That's a side note. But Paul is saying, look, you cannot have a pure heart if you do not know the love of God. And this was one part where I've had to preach the gospel to myself every single day to know the love of God. I mean, what a crazy, scandalous love it is that God would do what he did on my behalf. And y'all, if this is just like church lingo to you, please check your heart. Because this is real. Like, this is not a storybook thing. Because we're at the Christmas season, we like fantasize and story, like Christ is this little baby and all this stuff. No, this is real. Like, that baby was fierce. And that baby was on a mission. And that baby had to go through a process just like you and I did to become an adult. And that's the grace and love of God, that he would empathize with us, that he would come down and be one of us, that he would be love. And I have had to preach that to myself daily because I forget about it. And I put my lenses of my heavenly father's like my earthly father on, and then it's back to works-based. Oh, I don't know. Your love may be conditional. I don't know. And I have a fantastic earthly father. But we can't afford to do that. We must preach it to ourselves to know the love of God for ourselves. Because if your heart is being changed, if you're in Christ, every single step of every single day is moving towards loving God first, more and more, but it's gonna spill out into love for everyone around us. It has to. That's what Christ was all about, was loving the people around us right where they were, right in the situation they were in the muck, in the mire, in the mess. That's what he did for me. And again, this isn't Sunday school talk. This is life and death, eternity on the line if you understand this. This isn't just church talk, church speak. This is eternity hanging in the balance if we know the love of God. And if we truly have let that sink into our hearts, it will go to the people around us and they will be changed as a result of God changing us. That is a fact. I've seen it in my own life. I promise you, if you will become love and let the love of God into your heart, no matter where you've come from, no matter what has happened to you, no matter how unloved you feel, I am here to tell you today that the love of God is greater than any hurt or any pain that you have experienced in this life. And I'm not just making that up, because I have experienced hurt. I have experienced pain. We put forward our best foot every single time we walk out the door, but it's okay not to be okay and let the love of God come and meet you right where you are. And so if someone in here needed permission this morning to not be okay, here it is. Here's your permission slip. Because if anyone around you is saying, yeah, I'm okay, they're lying. Because none of us are perfectly okay. Yeah, there's some who are further down the road than others who we have a lot to learn from, but there's people that are watching us too. So it is okay to not be okay and let the love of God change your life. It is the humble people, the ones who ask for God to show them their love, his love, that change. It's the people who think that they've got it all figured out, that they know the Bible stories, who will not change. And so we humbly ask God, would you show us your love? Would you let me know the truth of the gospel beyond some church story? But would you let me know the truth and let me feel the truth to the core of who I am? And as we walk in that towards the people around us, we become that and we change. Permanently. It's amazing. It is miraculous, y'all. I cannot even say enough about what Christ has done in me this year, and I have so much further to go. So let me remind you, we're almost done. Let me remind you that this is not an immediate thing. We're walking faithfully, demonstrating this righteousness because of the love of God. And if we slip, if we fall, guess what? His hand of grace is there to pick us back up and to keep moving forward. And the last thing is this. So we are to be righteous, allow people to see our righteousness, or to be faithful, allow people to hear and see our faith, to be loving, allow people to feel God's love through your love for others. And the last one is to be peaceful. Allow people to know God's peace through your peace. And it's so appropriate that that's the last one that Paul mentions, because it worked out perfectly that this is the last thing we'll talk about in this series. Because what is the opposite of peace? It's war. We live in a day and age. Not only has the United States been in its longest war yet, literally, but we live in a day and age where it is war between every polar opposite. It's a war. If you don't agree with someone else, guess what? It's a war. And it may not seem like it. It may not be that obvious, but I'm telling you that right now there is a divisiveness in the world that has only increased and will only increase day by day, and we can't feed into it. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, guaranteed. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Just take heart, I've overcome the world. And so everything in our lives that seems to be raging war against itself, everything in this country, everything in the world, we are to be the peace. But we can't be peace if we haven't known peace. And so my question, have you known peace? Have I known peace? I'm doing this devotional right now that it starts with a minimum of 2 minutes of silence and stillness before the Lord. Can I tell you, the first couple weeks I did that, I couldn't stop myself from thinking about everything in my life that I needed to get done that day, that I was guilty of doing the day before. 2 minutes, I couldn't clear my mind for 2 minutes to focus on God. That's because we don't know peace. Information, everything that we're trying to be sold on a day-to-day basis, the good, the bad, the hurt, the pain, it's all in our faces in this world, and we can't find peace because we're looking for it in all the wrong places. Christ is peace. The Holy Spirit inside of us that Christ has given to those who believe in him carries peace and is peace in the deepest parts of who we are. And this one was particularly challenging to me because I had to ask myself, am I a peacemaker? Because God has called those who would call themselves followers of Christ to be peacemakers. Paul says earlier that as far as it concerns us, we're to live in peace with everyone around us. As far as it concerns us. Now that will not happen now in this day and age, because if we stand for Christ, there are going to be people who do not have peace with us. But as far as it concerns us, we're to love them anyways. We're to be the peacemakers, because Paul wraps up this whole series for us in how to change the world. He says, if you will do this, then just maybe God, in his mercy and in his grace, will allow your enemies, will allow the people against you to repent and know him and come out from underneath the schemes of the enemy. He says that. I want to go back to our main scripture in 2 Timothy. He says, this is speaking to the peacemakers. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. Peaceful. Because you know they produce quarrels, opposite of peace. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Again, peaceful. Opponents, Those who are either against the faith or not in the faith, opponents must be gently instructed, hello, love, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. That's the world, y'all. That is the world. And God is saying through Paul in this scripture, he is saying, if you would pursue these things, here's the chance. I'm giving these people a chance. But guess what it is? It's based on if you will let me change you. If you would pursue these things, I will give them a chance and I'll let them repent and I will let them know me and come out from under the enemy. I have to change you first though. Because God will use, if we're unwilling to change, God will use people who are willing to change. Because they're out there. And I want to be one of them. I want to try my best in the love of Christ through his Holy Spirit power to be righteous like Christ. Because I know that's going to change me. It's going to make me want to do the things of God more and more as I do it. I want to be more faithful to God every single day. More and more, cling to my wife more and more as Christ has called me to be a husband. To see things through to the end, to be faithful to the things he's called me to. I want to become love by knowing his love. I want to love more and more because he has first loved me. And I want to be a peacemaker in a world that is trying to tear itself apart. Because he is my peace. I want to become like him. I want him to change me from the inside out. And God is saying clearly through his own word, this isn't me making this up. He's saying, if you'll do this, then just maybe they'll turn to me. I'll give him the chance, I promise. But it starts with you. It starts with me. And so my question is this morning, will we allow God to change us? Because it hurts. I mean, it could start with a tough conversation. Most of the times it does. And if you think you've got it all together, man, ask the people around you. They'll quickly tell you, you don't. Trust me, they will. But if we would humble ourselves and check our blind spots with the people around us with scripture, ask God to reveal the things. Trust me, he is faithful to reveal those things. Trust me. If we would do this, if we would become these things, I would encourage you to look into the scripture, read the greater context of this throughout the New Testament, throughout Paul's writings. This will change our hearts if we would make this our prayer. Because I want to be a difference maker. I do. I want my life to amount to more than the dash on my tombstone. I don't want to have to put some cliche saying on my headstone because I really actually didn't do anything in this life, so they needed to put something on there for the guy who mows the grass. I actually want to be a difference maker, and this isn't hype talk. This is literal, God will do incredible things that you can't even believe that he's doing through your life if we will open up and let him do the work he so desperately wants to do. It is for our good and his glory that we let him do that. Because the more I allow God to change the inside of me, the more he will allow me to be a part of his change in the world around me. That's just a fact that I've seen in my life, I know Miles has seen in his life, and if you would ask anyone who's been following the Lord for any amount of time, who's allowed him to change them, they have seen a greater impact in their life than they could have ever imagined. And I pray that as there is more years on our lives and the people in this room, that God would make them more impactful every single day as we pursue to be the people that he wants us and has called us to be. And who Christ died for us to be. Like we always say at ACC, we don't want to stop one inch short of living the life that Christ died for us to live. That's not about us. That statement's not about us. It's about him and about seeing the world changed for his glory. Because God is merciful and he is kind. And so we live for him. and we live by him. And we ask him to do what only he can do through us. Father, we thank you so much for who you are.
Thank you for listening to the Auburn Community Church podcast. If you or someone you know has been impacted by the ministry of ACC, we want to invite you to share your story with us by emailing us at mystory@auburncommunitychurch.com. We encourage you to keep up with all God is doing at ACC by following along on Instagram, Facebook, and our website, auburncommunitychurch.com.